Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards, and this week's broadcast is going to be one of the most important and crucial messages that you've ever heard if you're interested in what's going to happen to America in the last days. In other words, if you want to know what's lying on the horizon and how you can experience the grace of God, how you can allow grace to reign in your life, even when you're facing catastrophic times ahead of you, this is the program that you want to watch. America in the End, America in the Last Days, or maybe you could even say the last days of America, because America as we know it is coming to an end. That's not negativity. I'm not a negative person. That is just based on whether or not the Bible is true. And since the Bible is true, then we know that America as we have known it for these last 200 plus years is coming to an end. And you need to know what's coming, and you need to know how to prepare yourself. So get ready. This 6-CD series that you're going to hear called When Grace Reigns and Darkness Prevails is one of the most practical teachings you're ever going to get about what's really happening in the world, about how things are going to unfold, and about how you as a believer can stand strong and live in victory no matter what happens. It's going to open your understanding on grace. It's going to open your understanding on end time events, and it is going to equip you to be a light in the darkness and to have strength when everybody else is failing. You know, today we're going to address one of the questions that I have had asked a thousand times, or actually maybe even thousands of times over the last 40 years. What's going to happen to America in the end times? Now, if you know much about the Bible, and if you're watching what's going on, you can't help but know that we are escalating toward the end times. Now, I know that nearly every generation has thought that their generation would be the last one to see the end times. But when you look at the way they stretched and twisted scriptures to convince themselves that it was the end times, you know that they should have known it was impossible. But the real truth is, without having to stretch scripture, we're just letting the Bible speak for itself and comparing current events to the scriptures. I want you to know that the end times are unfolding upon this generation. And how close we are, I don't know. But, you know, Jesus told us that, you know, this was just like watching a fig tree when it starts to blossom. You know that summer is about to come. And that's the way it is. When you begin to see these signs, you know these things are on the verge of happening. And we've got to face these things, and we can't have fear in our hearts, because if we have fear in our hearts, we will not yield to the grace of God. We will end up making desperate decisions, doing stupid and desperate things, and we'll end up playing right into the hands of destruction. So what's going to happen to America in the end time? Let me say this. One of the problems that people have about interpreting the book of Revelation and understanding the end times is a total lack of knowing the Old Testament and the Old Testament prophecies and what they say, and knowing how to interpret Scripture from Scripture. So I have found that when I teach eschatology, that people walk out understanding what's going to happen, how it's going to unfold. And there's not anything really mystical about it. It's very, very non-exciting if you want to know the truth, but it leaves people knowing where they stand with the Word of God. So back to the question that everybody asks, what will happen to America in the end? Now, when we begin asking these kinds of questions, we have a tendency to fall into the normalcy bias, and we've talked about that every week so far. The normalcy bias is when you see something disastrous that's coming upon you or upon a nation, something bigger than you can contend with, something you've never seen before. The tendency is to convince yourself that it's not really happening. We don't want to face the tribulation. We don't want to face what's ahead. So the tendency is to twist and extrapolate doctrines to create end time theology that we can live with. Well, here's the real truth of it. The Bible clearly states that the tribulation of the Antichrist will reach around the entire world. If the Bible is true, that means that America will not escape the fallout of the Antichrist. Now, I am fairly convinced that the Antichrist rule will only be over the caliphate, the 10 leagues of nations that the book of Revelation talks about the dragon with seven heads and 10 horns, and that each of those represent mountains or it represents countries, and those are the countries over which the Antichrist will have direct rule. But I am also convinced that the New World Order, which is not necessarily a part of the Antichrist kingdom, will in the end play right into the hands of the Antichrist, and the whole world will be affected. So will we go through the tribulation is probably the next question that most people ask. Most of us have been taught a pre-tribulation rapture doctrine, and we want to believe that because none of us want to go through hardship. None of us want to face hard times. So believing in a pre-tribulation rapture is sort of like shutting your eyes and just hoping for the best. But you know something? That never really works in real life. The truth is, most of the scriptures that people use to come up with a pre-tribulation rapture are not really all that solid, if you understand what I'm saying. There are people that preach a pre-tribulation rapture, a mid-tribulation rapture, and a post-tribulation rapture. And the real truth is there are even some people who teach a first fruits rapture as well as a mid-tribulation rapture. Now, a first fruits rapture would be sort of like Enoch, who was called up to God before the flood, and a mid-tribulation rapture would be sort of like Noah, who was saved in the ark, but he actually had to go through the flood. He actually had to go through the hardship. So there's a lot of possibilities, but I don't think that we should put our hope in whether or not we know when or if there is a rapture. I think we need to put our hope in knowing God, understanding the scriptures. One of the biggest problems that we have whenever we attempt to answer that question is this. Most people are so ignorant of the Bible, they don't understand that the tribulation is divided up into two parts. There is the tribulation of the Antichrist, which is the first 3.5 years, and then there is the wrath of God. So you see, the tribulation of the Antichrist, this is the time that the Antichrist nation exerts his rule over all of the world, but particularly over these nations that will make up the caliphate in the Middle East. Now, the caliphate is a nation that overthrew Rome, and it was the beast. I'm pretty sure that's what the beast is referred to in the book of Revelation. And this nation was destroyed, but this nation is coming back together right now, and it's doing so with the aid, with the help of the United States. The United States is financing it. The United States is providing weapons of war, and the United States is siding with countries that actually give rise to really to terrorism and to a Muslim extremism all over the world. And we are funding and really making it possible for the caliphate, all of these nations, to come back together under one imam, under one prophet, and under one ruler. So once this happens, then these 10 nations will upset the economy of the entire world, and they will influence the entire world, and they will seek to destroy Israel. And we know that ultimately, whenever these nations come together and when they go to war against Israel, and Israel makes a peace pact with these Muslim nations, we know at that moment the countdown clock starts. And from that moment forward, we know that there will be 3.5 years of the Antichrist, this ruler who has risen up and has formed these nations, who has control of all of the oil and most of the wealth of the world, will in fact cause tribulation all over the world. But the last 3.5 years of the tribulation is the wrath of God. Now, we know that we are delivered from the wrath of God. But people have been murdered for thousands of years under the tyranny of Antichrist governments. People have suffered persecution. So even though we're delivered from the wrath of God, that does not mean we will not face incredibly challenging times during those first 3.5 years of the tribulation. The most likely point of a general rapture, if there is going to be one, is at the midpoint when the wrath of God begins to be poured out in the rest of the world. I want you to understand some. Revelation 12:11 tells us about how we will survive during those times. It says, "And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Personally, I think that every believer should make up his mind and be ready to die for Jesus, to be ready to die for righteousness if that's what it takes. And I'll tell you, you might find it amazing how radically your life would change and improve and how few struggles that you would have if in fact you resolved yourself to give up your life for Jesus if that's what it came to and you were ready to do it. And I'll tell you something. You don't have to think ahead. You don't have to plan ahead. All you've got to do is make that decision. Once you've made that decision, and it is a real decision, I got news for you. The grace of God will come alive in you when you need it. You know, Corrie ten Boom, who suffered terribly under the hands of the Nazi Party, and was one of the first Christian books I ever read, which was a tremendous book, and she always feared, and would talk to her father about fearing being able to deal with things, or with persecution, with suffering, and this sort of thing. And when she was a little girl, her father said, "Corrie, when we go to the train station to take the train to the city, when do I give you the ticket?" And she says, "Well, Papa, you give me the ticket when we're about to board the train." And he said, "That's the way it is with the grace of God. You always receive the grace, the power, the strength, the ability to do what you need to do at the time that you need it. You don't receive it in advance. Back here, you just make decisions, and then you don't worry about it. You let it go. And up there, when the time comes, whether it's facing death, whether it's facing persecution, whether it's facing the loss of goods, whether it's facing imprisonment, whatever it is, or whether it's following Jesus to the rapture, whatever it is, you'll be ready for it if, in fact, you've made the right decisions now." So the next question that a lot of people ask is this: well, isn't America a Christian nation, and won't God preserve us? Well, the question is not, will God protect or preserve us? The question is, what will the leaders of our nation do? Are our leaders actually godly men who follow Jesus as Lord? You know, when you look back over the men that have been presidents of the United States, you find some interesting things. Number one, you find that most of them have been either members of the Masons, or they have been members of the Skull and Crossbones. In other words, these are secret societies that you have to pledge your loyalty to, and you have to pledge a higher loyalty to them than you do to anybody else. They have their own religious approach, and the truth is they are cults, and all of our presidents have been part of some secret society. And so it makes you wonder where they really stand. Are they just useful idiots who are watered down weak Christians and call themselves Christians, but the real truth is their higher allegiance is to these societies? Because one of the things that the Skull and Crossbones and the Masons have in common is the commitment to establishing the New World Order. And if you don't understand about the New World Order, you need to open your eyes, do some reading, do some preparing. But let's talk about this, because, see, we have this idea that God just arbitrarily saves a nation or doesn't save a nation. Proverbs 24 says this: "He who says to the wicked, 'You are righteous,' him the people will curse, nations will abhor him, but those who rebuke the wicked will will have delight. Now, let me ask you something. Are the leaders of our nation calling Christianity good? Are they calling faith in Jesus good? Are they calling the Bible true? Are they calling God's laws and for justice? Are they calling them good? No, they're not. Through political correctness and atheism and humanism, in fact, all of God's word is being shut down and being stripped away from sight in American society. And the real truth is ungodliness, socialism, all kinds of wickedness is being exalted as being a good thing. And people who seek to live righteous are being persecuted. So Proverbs 17:13 says this, "Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house." You know something, you could apply that to a country. Whatever country rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from that country. And I want you to understand something. The corruption in all the nations of the world today is such that I believe if the veil was pulled back and we could see the atrocities that go on inside of governments, it doesn't matter what government it is, I think we would all be so appalled that it would be unbearable. We would not be able to live with it. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." That is exactly what is happening in our nation and in most of the nations of the world. Proverbs 11:11 says, "By the blessing of the upright, a city or a country is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked." I want you to realize many of our leaders call themselves Christians while they blatantly ignore the word of God. We don't know if they're ignorant or if they have been deceived or if they themselves are simply deceivers. Because you have to realize, whenever you are initiated into one of these secret societies, you go through a death ritual where you consider yourself dead, and then you are born again. And that's the terminology. You are born again into that organization. So when you have to realize, when a president of the United States says they're born again, that doesn't necessarily mean they're born again as a believer. When they say they believe in God, it doesn't mean they believe in the God of the Bible. And when they say they're a Christian, it does not mean they're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not matter what you say with your mouth. It's how you live your life. Let's look at our history for a few minutes. First of all, the first colonists that came here, yes, they were the pilgrims who came over here because they wanted to worship God freely and they wanted to be able to express themselves without a state-controlled church. And that was the whole reason for America being established. But you see, many of those who followed, they wanted freedom of religion, not because they wanted to worship God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah, the Creator. They wanted to worship their own God. And so our founding fathers, we really are kind of in the dark about the beliefs of our founding fathers, because our founding fathers, even though they quoted the Bible, read scriptures from the Bible, I think pretty much all of them were actually Masons and part of secret societies. And again, in these secret societies, you don't know how much people understand the diabolical and demonic intentions of these societies, because most people are very low level and they just participate on a social level. They pay their dues and they're basically useful idiots. They don't really recognize how deeply entrenched this stuff is in anti-God activity and anti-God intentions. But one of the things that the Masons and the Skull and Crossbones both have in common is the intention to establish the New World Order. Another little interesting fact is that 43 of our 44 presidents have all been related and all descend from European royalty. So that kind of makes you wonder what's really going on. It kind of makes you wonder if voting is really the opportunity to give us greater choices, or voting is an illusion that we have to take away the choices. We know that the two-party system was designed to take away choices, so we would not have the opportunity to choose and have the freedom that we need it. You know, at some time, a secret society with an evil intention took over our nation. When you look at how our Capitol buildings are designed and laid out, they are all aligned much like the pyramids and the temples of the ancient gods. If you look at the statues that populate our capital city, you will find that most of those statues are statues of ancient gods. Ancient pagan symbols are all over Washington, D.C., and the entire city is laid out astrologically in order to experience this mystical power that they sought to experience with the pyramids and they sought to experience with other temples. You know, when you go to some of the monuments, if you read the writing on some of the monuments, you will realize that those monuments are actually called temples. Well, in temples, what do? You worship gods. And if, in fact, our presidents are part of these secret societies who believe that they are the elite, they may well believe that they enter into a godhood. They may not be as far removed from the thinking of the ancient pharaohs as we really think. See, the real question is not who is president. The real issue is who controls the president, who really controls America. You know, Abraham Lincoln, whenever he bucked the powers that be. And there's some people that think that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated totally because he was going to repeal and do away with the IRS, which was an organization that he had started when he borrowed money from the Bank of England to be able to win the war. And that was part of the stipulation that they put on loaning the money. And when he got ready to do away with this, he was assassinated. You know, John Kennedy, not long before he was assassinated, he discovered that in fact he was not really the one who was running the country. And he said in a speech that when he was reelected that he was going to expose who was controlling America. Well, he never lived to be able to do that. So who really does control America? Well, I'll tell you, the same people control America who control all of the world. And I can tell you, it always goes back to the money. The world banking system is some expression and may well possibly be the great harlot that's spoken of in the book of Revelation. You know, banking began with the Knights Templar. The Knights Templar discovered possibly up to 200 tons of gold taken beneath Solomon's temple. They were a secret religious society that gained so much power that ultimately their core was all assassinated, by the way, on Friday the 13th by the order of the Pope. But the remnant of them escaped, and they escaped with the gold, with their plan to usher in the new world order. Now, we know that this was the beginning of banking. This could have been the beginning of banking with the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and ultimately led to, in America, the Federal Reserve System. You see, the banking system may well be the great harlot because the kings of the earth all commit fornication with the great harlot. Right now, the Federal Reserve, being influenced by who knows who, which is actually against the law, the Federal Reserve is driving the economy of our nation and driving the economy in a way that is actually going to totally destroy our nation. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation 17, 1 and 2, it talks about this great harlot that sits on the many waters, which are the people, with whom the kings of the earth commit fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. You see, this is all about money. The message on our money, the back of our dollar bill has a pyramid. There's nothing godly about that. That pyramid has a symbol on it that leads to an eye, which is the eye of Osiris, who is another name for Nimrod. And the blocks in the pyramid, if you count them based on mystical symbology, you realize that the goal was, starting in 1776, by 2012, the United States was to be in a position to actually establish the New World Order. Guess what happened in 2012? The Mayan calendars, all of these ancient cults all look to 2012 to say not the end of the world was coming, but that is when a change and all things were coming. On the back of our dollar, it says, "In God we trust," and it's all in capital letters. Why? Because it might stand out if they didn't capitalize the name of God, indicating the God of the Bible, because we don't know what God they're talking about considering the other images on there. I want to tell you, all of the symbols that we have on our money, around our capital, all are based on secret societies, all of which are here to establish the New World Order. Well, listen, I know this sounds scary, but just come back in a minute, and I'm going to share with you about how what we do when grace reigns and how we live in grace no matter what's coming. Do you want to change your world? Do you want to influence your family, your city, your neighborhood, your school, where you work, your city, your state? Well, be with us for World Changer Weekend, July the 18th through the 20th. We're opening this up to everybody. Even though our World Changers sponsor this, and this is especially for them, and it's a special way to say thank you for them, this is a chance for you to come. There is no registration fee, although you do have to register. You won't be charged for it, but you do have to register because we have a limited space. But we're going to be talking about the most important things. And I'm telling you, we're going to have Alan Spiegel, we're going to have Bob and Audrey Meiser, we're going to have Clint Byers, we're going to have Jimmy Bratcher, and I'm going to be here, and we're all going to be sharing with you from our perspective what is the most important thing that you need to know right where you are in the world today with all that's going on in the world. I'm telling you, you're going to leave edified, you're going to have great worship, you're going to receive great word, you're going to receive great ministry. So I encourage you, go to our website, impactministries.com, and join us for World Changer Weekend. My new series, When Grace Reigns and Darkness Prevails, is going to equip you to be able to walk in the grace, power, ability, and capacity of God in any situation. Whether we're facing the end or whether we're just facing incredibly difficult financial times, you need to have the power of God working inside you. And you're going to understand the nuts and bolts of what's going on in the world more than you've ever understood it. And you're going to be able to avoid the entrapments that are coming on planet Earth because the grace of God is going to strengthen you. You want to be sure and get this series to get all of the information that's available in this, because I'm telling you, there are so many details that I didn't have time to go into, and you'll want to hear it. But let me say this. In the final battle, America will no longer be a world power as we are now. You see, our leaders are bought and paid for by mega wealthy anti-Christ activists like George Soros, just to name one. And he basically owns almost all of the Democratic Party and a whole lot of the Republican Party, so it really almost doesn't matter who's in office anymore. You see, we too as a nation will beg for crumbs at the throne of wealth of the great harlot, and it doesn't sound so evil if it's just called a bank. And when everything is just talked about as if it's banking, everybody kind of just shuts their eyes and says, that's business, it's too complicated for me to understand. When in reality, it is the selling of the souls of our nation. So where will we be? America will no longer be a world power. It will no longer have the wealth and the resources to be any major factor in the end time events. Either that, or it will be supporting the Antichrist. Everything we see so far about all of these secret societies say that they were aiming at 2012 being when the New World Order would be empowered enough to launch out and bring in this whole change that they may not know will ultimately bring forth the Antichrist. Now, I want you to understand something. Some people are going to be martyred. Some are going to be delivered. You say, well, what determines the difference? Knowing how to hear and follow God from your heart. That's what makes the difference. Well, what about a rapture? We don't know about the rapture. The one thing we know is this: we are delivered from the wrath of God. And if we listen to and follow the Holy Spirit in our heart, if there is a rapture, we will be in it.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.